We may say that there are two main ways of practicing the church life, meaning the church life in a locality. And the first is a practice in which our consciousness, our awareness, is altogether focused on our locality or the immediate area around us. We are confident in the Lord that we're standing on the local ground, on the ground of oneness. And I mentioned previously that in the early years, in the 1960s, in Los Angeles, all of us that were quite young, most of us still in our 20s or early 30s, we were so joyful and thankful that we found the genuine church life. We learned the truth concerning one church for one city. And we gave ourselves to the Lord for this, Christ and the church. And we were very active in the church life, in necessary ways, in practical ways, week after week. So this is practicing the church life without an inward realization that we are living in the reality of the body of Christ. And locally, we are expressing the organic body of Christ. So that leads us to the second way. Virtually nothing outward changes. We come to the meetings, we serve, we open our homes for fellowship, for the gospel. So many practical services. But now, our inner being and our personal life with the Lord are deeply involved. Now the church life is not mainly so many delightful, necessary, positive activities. I don't minimize them. We come to the prayer meeting and pray. We share in different kind of meetings. We care for the children, the young people. But it's possible, and it's not only possible, it's actual, only the Lord knows the extent, that one may be very active in the church life in a necessary way. But the inner life of that brother or sister, the growth in life of that brother or sister, the knowing of the body by that brother or sister, are seriously lacking. It's mainly all the necessary activities. And then it's possible, not that one does it deliberately, our personal life, our inner life, our daily human life is not intrinsically and organically connected to our way of having the church life. And 50 plus years ago in the 60s, when this was our state, I believe the Lord was not troubled. He knew we were young, we were new, we were learning basic things. But now we're at another stage. The Lord wants all of the saints and all of the churches to realize the goal of His recovery is the reality of the body of Christ, which is the manifestation of the one new man, which also is living in the reality of the kingdom, and also the bride making herself ready. Again, I say emphatically, we don't try to change this or that to make things different or new or fresh. It's just that we more and more are realizing the relationship between our inner being, the depths of our being, the inward parts of Christ and of us, of our personal life with the Lord, our experience and enjoyment of Christ. All of this is inward. It's invisible. In a sense, I hope what I say is understandable. For many, it's not practical. Some dismiss it as, this is just spirituality, in quotes. But Brother Lee, among other things, is a pattern of balance of the genuinely spiritual life and with the practicality of the church life, of the ministry, and of the work. So underlying all four messages of this conference is this thought that there is an intrinsic relationship between the practice of the church life wherever we are and our inner being in our personal, largely hidden, secret life with the Lord. It's related to the degree of our growth in life. And this is what's in my heart for this conference, as the Lord would lead, to see that here it is, a day of the week, and on this day, there's nothing outward planned or arranged that's an aspect of the church life. This evening, we're not having saints for dinner. Today, we're not involved in taking care of this or that. It's just an ordinary working day, taking care of family day. But in the sight of God, you are still living in the body of Christ. You're a member. You're a member of the body of Christ. Whether you're in a meeting or not, whether you're serving in a practical way or not, whether there's any necessary outward activity or not, you are living in the body, as we often say, 24/7. Surely, this was our dear brother Watchman Nee's experience in those 20 years of confinement. He was living inwardly in the reality of the body of Christ. And we look to the Lord that the vast majority of us, according to our need and situation and age, we are living a proper human life, fulfilling our human responsibilities. But little by little, we're beginning to see that while outwardly and humanly we are living day by day, inwardly, in our spirit, in our inner parts, we are simultaneously in another realm. I remember many, many years, decades ago, there was a meeting. Brother Lee was, he opened himself for questions. And I'd been in the recovery maybe a year and a half. I was a high school teacher. And I asked him, then, how do I contact the Lord? How do I live the Christian life while I'm teaching? And then he said this, outwardly, you are teaching, you're doing your job. But inwardly, in your spirit, it is, O Lord, amen, hallelujah. That was during the time when he gave a message. He told us later how it happened. He's giving a message. And then he said there are four crucial words. Then he told us afterward, inwardly, he was asking the Lord, what are they? O Lord, amen, hallelujah. So Brother Lee was not merely saying, Ron, just all the time inwardly you're saying this. He's saying, while you are doing your job outwardly, inwardly, you are contacting the Lord. Then after Brother Lee shared this, and I very much appreciated it, inwardly I had this sense, and the Spirit was using a certain verse from Hebrews 4. I realized I need the dividing of soul and spirit so that outwardly I can use the function of my soul to be a good teacher, to care for the students, but inwardly at the same time, I'm in another realm. This is what I'm trying to say about living in the body 24/7. I gave that illustration of Paul in Troas. That meeting lasted, it seems, about 12 hours. And Paul was speaking like giving a whole conference or training in 12 hours. But eventually they had to end the meeting and take care of their human responsibilities. But I say again and again, I'm trying to say, because we live in space and time, we're not in meetings all the time. We don't have people in our home for fellowship all the time. We're not serving all the time. But we are always living, or at least being, a member of the body. So what the Lord really wants to lead us into and save us from, He wants to save us from living two lives. I don't mean that one is hypocritical. I don't mean that. It means you have your Christian life, some time with the Lord, reading the Word, praying, having fellowship, functioning in the church life. And then you have the other aspects of your life. What the Lord is concerned about is that whether a sister is reading a story to her little girl, or a brother or sister is working on their computer at work, they are living the same life as they are when they're with saints. They're exercising the Spirit. They're contacting the Lord. They're inwardly receiving the divine dispensing. Again, I use the word simultaneously because although church meetings have to be brought to an end, the body life never ends. Just consider our physical body, whether we're working or not, sleeping or not, whatever it is, our body is functioning. Our heart is continually beating. Our lungs are functioning. I'm trying to say this is the life of the body of Christ. But the Lord has ordained, as we all know, that the body is being built up in, through, and by local churches. There is the desperate need. That's not an exaggeration, a desperate need for more and more saints to have this realization. I'm not simply in this locality. I live here. I work here. My family is here. I meet with the church here. I serve with the saints here. And then when churches come together, I attend a conference. Yes. But that's not the whole story. There needs to be the realization. The reason I was saved and brought into the Lord's recovery and preserved in the church life, that I may participate in the building up of the church as the body of Christ, in the locality where I am, with the brothers and sisters who live here. So there is this inward connection between the local church life, our inner being, and the organic reality of the body of Christ. The subject of this message will focus on a particular aspect of the connection between our inner being, the local church life, and the reality of the body. A church life in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. And I would like to read these verses, probably without comment, at least not at that time, but just a very simple testimony. Perhaps it was about 12 years ago. I had to have an important surgery to deal with and hopefully resolve a kind of ongoing matter in my body. There had been two surgeries prior to that. It wasn't permanently set. But this time, the surgeon had another approach, and the surgery settled that. But as anyone knows, who's recovered from surgery, and the anesthesia wears off, there's often a certain period of pain. It may not be unbearable, but it can be intense. So I had to be at home, recovering, and I'm reading the Word again, with the Lord again, and for some reason, the Lord began to shine on the book of Philemon that mentions at least three times our inward parts and how our brother Philemon was a leading brother in the church in Colossae. So the epistle to the Colossians is closely related to the epistle to Philemon. And then the light began to shine. There in Colossae, at least a number of the saints were living the church life outwardly and practically, and were also living in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. I was personally helped by this. And it opened the way for the Lord to care for me as one of his brothers, to shepherd my soul, pointing out to me how you need to fully open the depths of your being to me, Ron. This is not just a matter of personal spirituality. This is a church matter. This is how Paul and others lived the practical church life in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. Now I read the verses. Philippians 1:8. For God is my witness, how I long after you all in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. I long after you all in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 1. If there is therefore any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any tenderheartedness and compassion, verse 2, make my joy full, that you think the same thing, having the same love, joined in soul, thinking the one thing. Now we turn to Colossians. And the scripture reference is verse 12. But in order to show the context, I want to read verses 10 and 11 and then 12. And have put on the new man, which is being renewed unto full knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freedman, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, inward parts. Verse 10, put on the new man. And in the new man, Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, put on inward parts of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. Then we go to Philemon. And please remember that our brother Philemon lived in Colossae. And verses 7, 12, and 20. For I had much joy and encouragement over your love, because the inward parts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Then in verse 12, Paul is referring to Onesimus, who was a slave who ran away from Colossae, from being with Philemon, and went all the way to Rome. How he did that, that's amazing. And how he found Paul in prison, that's even more amazing. And Paul brought him to salvation. He brought him to faith in Christ. And so Paul now says to Philemon, him, that is Onesimus, I have sent back to you, him, that is my very heart. And the Greek words, very heart, are the translation of the same word for inward parts in verse 7. I'm sending him back, brother Philemon. But when I send him back, I'm sending my inner being, my inward parts, my deep feelings toward him, toward you. Then in verse 20, yes, brother, may I have profit from you in the Lord. Refresh my inward parts in Christ. Paul is asking this brother to refresh him in his inward parts, even refresh my inward parts in Christ, in Christ, not by being a nice person, just saying gentle things, in our natural life, but in Christ, Philemon, as verse 7 made clear, he refreshed the inward parts of others. I believe a number of us can testify. We may not remember the place, the time, and we are still committed to Christ and the church, but for some reason we're just somewhat tired, worn out, weary, and then a simple, seemingly ordinary contact with another member of the body. And maybe after that 3 or 4 minute fellowship, we sense, I'm refreshed. I'm refreshed. I remember in 1978, when that turmoil had taken place in Anaheim, and many divisive ones left. And that was a very painful time to me and many of us. And after a meeting, an older brother, not an elder, he was a plumber, hardworking brother, faithful brother, and he just had some fellowship with me. And he said, Ron, you have been hurt. You have been hurt. And he didn't give me any instructions. I realized he's aware of the inner pain that was in me. And after that brief fellowship with him, I was refreshed. I was encouraged. I was motivated. I will go on. I will not be governed by what happened. I will go on. And I believe this is an aspect of the proper church life. It's a life in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. Now, the first person in my life who should receive the benefits of my living in the inward parts of Christ Jesus is the sister who is my wife. She's not only my wife, she's a fellow member of the body of Christ. Is not our married life intrinsically, inwardly, an aspect of our body life? And then we don't go on a mission to try to refresh people. No, that is not real. This just is an aspect of our contact with one another. Many times we have come to a meeting weary. We're so refreshed, so supplied inwardly. So now I will read through the outline. It's a little longer than the other two, and the points mainly speak for themselves. As a man, Christ had the human inward parts, with their various functions. And Christ's experiences in his inward parts were his experiences in his mind, emotion, will, soul, heart, and spirit, including his love, desire, feeling, thought, decision, motive and intention. And if you look up that verse in Isaiah there, God could lead and guide Christ through Christ's inward parts. In every aspect of his inner being, he was one with God the Father. As the living Father sent me, I live because of him. And so when Paul refers to the inward parts of Christ Jesus, he's referring to the God-man Jesus, who lived this wonderful God-man life, and in his inner being, he was experiencing God as his Father to be life. And then Paul, who at one time, long before he wrote this, was breathing out murder. Breathing out murder. Acts says that. What kind of inner parts did he have to want to kill believers? He thought he was serving God. But we know he met the Lord. The Lord revealed himself to him. And now by the time that Paul wrote from prison to the Philippians, outwardly he was in a jail or in some kind of confinement, chained to a guard. That's where he was physically. Did he have a nice bed to sleep on? I don't think so. What kind of food did he have? How healthy was his physical body? We don't know. But inwardly, he's living in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. And we see this in the next section, Romans 2. Paul was a person who continually experienced Christ in his inward parts. Paul will never forget those words. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The Lord was suffering with the persecuted saints. His inward feelings were there. But now, a long time later, Paul is no longer living in his own natural inward parts. He's living in the inward parts of Christ. Paul was one with Christ, even in his inward parts, in his affection, tender mercy, and sympathy. How the saints need this. Even if someone is being disciplined. Parents know when it was necessary for them to discipline a naughty child. There are a lot of feelings inwardly, tender feelings, loving, caring feelings. How sad it is for brothers, especially if they're responsible in the church, they're faithful to do all the things right. But if they do it in their own inward parts, they don't realize, but the Lord does. They are injuring saints by contacting them as they need to contact. but not in the inward parts of Christ, in their own inward parts, because they're right and this person's wrong. How we need this to be lived out. It's not a theory. Paul did not keep his own inward parts, but took Christ's inward parts as his. Brothers and sisters, will we continue holding on to our inward parts? This is how I feel. This is how I feel. One brother a long time ago, he said to his dear wife, marrying you and having a child, this is really, really not the will of God. It was his permissive will. And then he said, that's how I feel. That's how I feel, as if that settles it. I'm not saying he didn't love his wife, he didn't love his growing child, but he had this feeling. And when he expressed it, it was wounding. Are we willing? This is a choice we make, to let go of our own inward parts and allow the inward parts of Christ to become our inward parts. We live in his inward parts, and he with his inward parts lives in us, become our inward parts. This is not a training. If it were a training, maybe I would ask 10 brothers to stand up and gently but firmly ask this question. Are you willing to stop keeping your own inward parts? Can you make this decision before the Lord? Will you tell him, Lord, I exercise my human will. I'm making a decision. I want to let go of all that's in me, in the natural life and nature and constitution. I will let go of all of my inward parts. And I want to take your inward parts as mine. Then the Lord's Spirit has a way to carry this out. He took not only Christ's mind, but also his entire inward being. Paul's inner being was changed, rearranged, and remodeled so he could tell the Corinthians, I just pour out love for you. The more I love you, the less I'm loved, but I just love you. He was rearranged inwardly. Now he's exhaling love, no longer breathing murder. What a change. If this can happen in Paul, surely it can happen in you and me. The same Lord's Spirit can rearrange our inner being in this way. Paul's inward being was reconstituted with the inward parts of Christ. See what was in Christ as truth, as honesty, faithfulness, trustworthiness, was also in Paul. D, Paul's love for the saints was not his own love, but the love in Christ which is Christ's love. Thus, Paul loved the saints, not by his natural love, but by the love of Christ. Are we not now touching the essence of the church life? The church in Philadelphia, in principle, of brotherly love, is this not the essence? What is more important than this? Than Christ's love for the saints? Of course, to be angry, to have feelings of hate, are terrible. They're devilish. But we shouldn't be satisfied with, I'll just be kind and easygoing, and I have feelings of affectionate. Unbelievers can do this in relation to certain people. This is not the church life. This is the flesh. We need to put on the inward parts with their affection, with their love, to love one another in Christ's love. Didn't the Lord say, if you really love one another, the world will know that God sent me into the world? And I've wondered about this. I don't think I understand very much yet, but this is my thought. I just open it. What's the connection between loving one another and the world observing us, the worldly people? And they conclude, this must indicate the truth that God sent his Son to save us, because they witness something that's humanly impossible. Suppose a church somewhere in Israel, a local church, there may already be one like this, then this is just a thought, and you have people from all the warring nations, whether they're Arabic or Israelis or whatever they are, but they break bread together in pure, absolute love. How can these people who are at enmity all the time in the world are in such marvelous oneness in an atmosphere of love? Only Jesus can do this. Their testimony is, it is Christ living in us. This is the essence. We can't just switch on love when we come together. This needs to be our constituent, Christ's love for every member of the body, eventually his love for all human beings, even love for our enemies. This is the essence. Three, to live Christ requires that we remain in the inward parts of Christ. Remain, not just visit. But I believe we're all the same. It's similar to being in the Spirit and not in the Spirit. We're in, and then we're drawn out. Then we come back, we're in. Then we are away for a while. We're in this process, but eventually, we will remain forever in the Lord whom we love, in his inward parts. Paul experienced the inward parts of Christ. He was one with Christ in his inward parts in longing after the saints. I haven't flown anywhere, certainly haven't left the country for 17 months. And sometimes I've been asked, well, how do you feel? Do you miss, you know, flying here and there? And my spontaneous answer was, I don't miss flying in an airplane. It's the saints I miss. I miss you. I say this sincerely before the Lord. Let him witness to this. I long to be with you again. Not to do this or that, to be this or that. Just to be with the saints. And so we are all in the process. And eventually our yearning, our longing to see certain saints will be an expression of Christ's longing. How he must be longing for his bride. Oh, what joy it will be when she's ready and they're joined. B, Paul did not live in his natural inner being. He lived a life in the inward parts of Christ. He did not live in his natural inner being. So now we're touching on the living again. Where are we living? Not first, how? Because how is determined by where. If I live in my natural inner being, my living will be in this way, in this matter. But if I'm living in the inward parts of Christ, effortlessly, the living is different. Oh, what a difference between a church, a local church, where a sufficient number of saints are living in the inward parts of Christ. And so it's not just simply a personal way of living. It's becoming corporate. The church itself is now living in the inward parts of Christ. In all the meetings, in all the functions, all the activities. Our shepherd, our dear Lord, is leading us, his flock, in this direction. See, if we would be those who are in Christ, we must be in his inward parts, in his tender and delicate feelings. His tender feelings. His delicate feelings. And we all need to experience personally how the Lord feels toward us. Tender feelings. Delicate feelings. Because this is what he is. But also in his loving care for us, he knows where we are and what we need. Have you ever come to the Lord after having a certain failure or fall? The enemy tried to keep you away, say, don't try to contact the Lord. He's angry at you. But eventually we say no to the enemy, and we kind of expect some severe judgment And there are times when we must experience that governmentally. But instead, we touch something tender, delicate. The Lord knows. I know how you feel. You confess what you did. I know how you feel. And I am coming to you, not as human beings come trying to pat one another on the back and comfort them by saying nice things. I want to touch you with my delicate, tender feelings. I observe this in Brother Lee and in other mature saints again and again. It's so touching just to see Christ expressed in this way. D, to live Christ is to abide in his inward parts and there to enjoy him as grace. 4, in the book of Philemon, we have a picture of the church life lived in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. I encourage you to read this short book, just one chapter. And it's a picture of the church life lived in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. The inward parts signify inward affection, tenderheartedness, and compassion. Paul's inward affection and compassions went with Onesimus to Philemon. We read that verse. He didn't just send him there. This was his duty. This was his obligation. You're a runaway slave. You need to go back to your master. Let him know you're a believer. No, I'm sending you there. And Onesimus, my heart is going with you. My inner being is going with you. And when Philemon receives you, now as his brother, his equal in Christ, he will sense the depth of my inward parts in this matter. See, all the spiritual and divinely good things in us are unto Christ, toward Christ, and for Christ. Every good thing which is in you, in verse 6, refers not to natural things, but to spiritual and divinely good things, such as our love and faith toward the Lord Jesus. Paul prayed that the fellowship, the communication, the sharing of Philemon's faith toward all the saints might become effective in them in the element and sphere of the full realization of all the good things in us for Christ, causing them to acknowledge, appreciate, and recognize all the spiritual and divinely good things that are in the believers for Christ. This is a very long statement, I realize, because the thought is quite deep. All of us have Christ in us. And we have a Christ who is making his home in our heart. We have a Christ in us who is making us his reproduction. We have a Christ in us that is saturating and permeating us with himself. This Christ is all and in all. And every member of the body has some precious, wonderful aspects of Christ in them. That's their measure. their portion of Christ as a good land. But all these need to be activated, meaning brought to the surface. And as I'm mentioning this, I remember something, a very startling statement that Brother Samuel Chang, an elderly brother in the church in Los Angeles, close to Brother Lee, knew Brother Nee, and Brother Nee married his sister. So he was, at that time, maybe 1967, the only mature brother. The mature sister was his wife among us. And one day, because he spoke directly, sometimes just one sentence, and he said this, it's so vivid in my memory. Brothers, you need to see something more than Satan in your brothers. Wow. You shouldn't just see all the defects, all the shortcomings, even the self that's not dealt with yet, and how Satan can be expressed through any one of us when we're in the self. He said, you need to see something more in your brother. And what can happen in married life? It can happen in the church life. We're very familiar with certain saints. And our view is contrary to Paul when he said, I don't know anyone in the old creation. We are all a new creation in Christ Jesus. I see you as a new creation. And we need to consider this. How are we viewing the saints right at hand, surrounding us? Of course, we're in a physical realm. We recognize one another. That I just remember in one meeting, a brother, especially at that time, had quite a serious disposition. That whenever he would share something, at least most of the time, it was rather heavy and weighty. The Lord gained ground in him so he could share something life-supplying and joyful. And I remember being in a meeting when as soon as he stood up, an older brother, you could tell by his countenance, had such a negative expression on his face. Like, here we go again. This is very different. From yes, there is the discernment. This brother is still relatively new. But he's developing in the Lord. And yes, these are his characteristics. But there is something of Christ here. When we live in the inward parts, we see something more than others. Defects, weaknesses, peculiarities. We appreciate the good things of Christ that are in them, and actually our contact with them in the inward parts of Christ activates, it encourages them, it supplies them, it helps them to come out of themselves, to exercise the Spirit, to touch the Lord in a joyful way. And that is why, one reason at least, Paul could say to Philemon, the inward parts of the saints are refreshed by you. What kind of person was Philemon? How the Lord had gained him, according to what's revealed in Colossians, that epistle, that his contact with saints would refresh their inner being. Even Paul would admit, I need to be refreshed. I ask you, refresh my inward parts in Christ. And this brings us to the consciousness of the body, which is the goal of this message. Since we are members of the body of Christ, we need to have the consciousness of the body and a feeling for the body, because Christ's inward parts are full of consciousness and feeling related to the body. In order for us to live the body life, we need to care for our fellow members and be full of feeling for the body. Full of feeling for the body. The Christ we enjoy is the head of the body. Thus, the more we enjoy him, the more we become conscious of the body. We can't just make ourselves conscious of the body. We can't, well, let's sit here now. Let's take a break. Let's all sit here and, okay, let's be conscious of the body. Okay, how's it going? Being conscious of the body. Well, now we're conscious of ourselves trying to be conscious of the body. Let's simply enjoy the Lord, who is the head of the body. See, Paul took the inward parts of Christ as his own inward parts in caring for the church. In caring for the church, what will be the source of our caring? Elders, generally speaking, they don't care for the saints because that's their duty, that's their responsibility. They care out of their love for them. It's not a duty, it's not a job. More and more, these dear brothers are living in the inward parts of Christ, and they express Christ's loving care for the saints, for the church. Paul took care of the body of Christ by taking Christ's feeling as his own feeling. So I say again, which feelings now will govern us? Christ's feeling or our own natural feeling? Which do we trust? One famous philosopher, he's famous for saying, I think, therefore I am. Okay, I must be a person living because I'm thinking. And I thought maybe this applies or can apply to some of us, sisters in one way, brothers in another way. I feel, therefore, that's how it is. I feel that way, and so that must be accurate to say what it is. We shouldn't trust our feeling. We should be willing to allow the cross to touch our feeling, so that Christ's feeling becomes ours. Christ's feeling for the body became Paul's feeling for the body. Right now, as I'm speaking this, Christ is full of feeling for the body, over every member of the body. Because he's a man, he has this feeling, these inward parts. Because he's God, he's unlimited. Right now, he's full of feeling, love, concern, tenderness toward thousands, even millions of believers. This is our Christ. This is the head of the body. And this Christ needs to be expressed in our church life by our taking his feeling for the body as ours. Like Paul, we should take the feeling of the head as our own feeling. And along with many others, especially those who have gone way ahead of me, more mature than I am at present, they had the Lord's feeling for the body. And that became a burden to bear when especially so many others, very active persons, don't have that feeling. It's just non-existent in them. And they may not realize that their way of doing things, the way of carrying out this and that, is bringing grief into the body. And so what can these others do other than pray, to intercede? Lord, make your feeling our feeling so that your body is being built up all over the earth. D, the feeling for the body of Christ is closely related to one's frame of mind, that is, to one's perception of things. How can we say we don't have a view? We don't perceive things. This is a function of the mind. But if our mind is not being renewed, then we have our own frame of mind and our own perception of things. And then we may not realize it, we're making the mistake of trusting that. This must be the way it is. But it's not. The Lord has a different view, a different perception. And he needs people on the earth who are open to drop their own state of mind and form of mind or frame of mind and perception to say, Lord, this is how I see it, but Lord, I don't trust this. Then the Lord makes it very clear, you shouldn't. I have a different view. What was his view of the churches in Revelation 1? Golden lampstands. Then he spoke to the churches according to his perception in chapters 2 and 3. And the messengers in the churches needed to accept that. This is not my view of the local church here. Lord, this is your view. Lord, I open to you. I'm one with you. I will obey you in this matter. If we are members, if we as members have the feeling of the head in everything and care for the body, we will take the body as the rule in our mind, thoughts, words, and actions. It just becomes part of our being because this is Christ's being developing in us to become our being. Because whatever we do involves the body, in all that we do, we should care for the body. Whatever we do involves the body. I just wonder, do all the co-workers all over the earth, all the full-time serving ones, all the elders and responsible ones realize this? Whatever they do involves the body. Once we realize this, we care for the body. We should deny ourselves and identify ourselves with the body. And this is something we do personally. I can't deny someone else's self. My responsibility, once myself is exposed to me, I recognize this is just yourself, Ron. Call it what it is. And you know where the enemy is lurking. When you stay in yourself, deny it. Apply the cross to it. Then be identified. Lord, I'm one with your body, with your feeling. Last point, if we do this, there will be no separation or disconnection from the body. The life we live will be fully the body life, and the Lord will gain the expression of his body. What enlightening statements. The life we live will fully be the body life. This may be a new thought. We may think the life we live is, it's just Christ. Of course, Christ is our life. Christ, our life. That our is the universal body of Christ. A life living fully the body life. There is such a reality as the body life. These points are saying, whatever we do involves the body. I've been learning this little by little. Rather slow learner, I have to admit. But everything. Taking care of my health is a body matter. I can't be reckless. I'm a member of the body. I'm still on the journey, at least for today. When the Lord delivered me from being in the valley of the shadow of death as a widower, and brought Tanya into my life, that met a human need for both of us. It was for the body. More and more, this is becoming real. Then the Lord will gain the expression of his body. He has the body. He knows this, we know this. His burden is to have the expression of the body. And as we pointed out in the beginning of the first message, if I remember correctly, the local churches are the expression of the body of Christ. This is what the Lord is longing for. He's burdened for, he's praying for, to see on the earth, in and through and with and by the local churches, an expression of his body. He will be able to say to the enemy, look down in that city, look down in London, look down in Berlin, look down in Madrid, look down in Moscow, look down in Tokyo, look down in New York, look down in Seattle. What do you see? I will tell you because you're ashamed. I see my body expressed. I am fulfilling my prophecy. I will build my church. We want there to be joy in heaven and joy in the heart of the Lord whom we love and serve, that he will be full of joy because more and more, as he looks upon all the local churches, he sees the expression of his body here, now, on the earth. May the Lord have this joy very soon, and that we may already rejoice in him. Lord, finally, your heart's desire is being fulfilled. The churches are expressing your body.